I want to welcome each one of you to the Call to Prayer and Self-Denial program of the United Methodist Women. This is an annual event, and we usually do it in January, so we are glad that the weather has cooperated today. Before having a few thoughts on prayer, I would like to tell you about the National UMW, as well as some of the highlights of our group. As you can see from the pretty bulletin that Carolyn prepared for us, and I thank her for that so much, 2019 is the 150th anniversary of the United Methodist Women. In 1869, there were 8 members, and today there are over 800,000. This group inherits the vision and toil of women's missionary societies of 8 denominations. Women in the Methodist and Evangelical United Brethren traditions organized about the same time when women and children were legally classified as chattel, legally dead, and non-persons. In 1869, the wives of 2 missionaries to India spoke to a group of 8 women in Boston. They told of the desperate spiritual and physical needs of women in India. A male doctor could not treat women, and schooling was almost non-existent for girls. The Methodist Woman's Foreign Missionary Society was formed with a constitution, and an educator and a doctor were sent to India. As a result, a college and a hospital for women were established and are still serving people in India today. Over the next years, the Women's Missionary Association of the United Brethren Church, Societies of the Methodist Episcopal Church, and the Methodist Episcopal Church South, the Woman's Foreign Missionary Society of the Methodist Protestant Church, the Woman's Missionary Society in the Evangelical Association, and the Ladies' Aid Societies incorporated into missionary societies. Through reorganization and denominational mergers, these groups were brought together. In 1973, the United Methodist Women became the Women's Mission Organization of the United Methodist Church. And for our group here at Plank Chapel, we support the missions of the UMW as well as locally supporting Zev Vance Elementary School with supplies, treat bags for the staff, and Christmas gifts for families in need. And we've also supplied meals for the men's homeless shelter. And any woman is welcome to join us on the third Sunday of each month, and I would challenge all women to do just that. And I want to thank our group for all the work they do. Each one has a little job that they do and do it well, and I want to thank each one for what they do to contribute to the whole success of our group. But since this program is about prayer, I would like for us to think about how vital prayer is in our daily existence. What place does prayer have in your life? Is it first place, second place, some place, or no place? Prayer is one of the greatest benefits of a Christian life. Life is filled with worries at home, at work, and even in church. We can become anxious about virtually everything, but there is an antidote to worry. It is called prayer. God is in control. He loves us, and He's making intercession for us. This means turning over every concern, decision, and relationship to Him. Sometimes we get too busy to pray and feel our needs are too small, and God would not be concerned. But Jesus says to persist in prayer, to ask, seek, and knock. God is always listening. He will respond to our pleas, but we must take the initiative. If we ask, we will receive. If we seek answers, God will reveal them to us. Of course, God's answers won't always be what we expect, but He will respond. Persist in prayer. Talk to your Heavenly Father. He wants to hear from us. Ask, seek, knock. Let us pray. Dear God, we are excited about today. This is a day you made. We are going to rejoice and be glad in it. We know you reward those who seek you, and we thank you for your blessings and favors in our lives. We know you are in control of each and every day. You have blessed our lives so that we may use our hands, our words, and our gifts to bring healing and hope to others. Help us to live lives of generosity and mercy. In your name we pray. Amen.